Jim and Steve on social media, Instagram and Facebook, a scooby doo a social media where people go to interact with the things they like, and sometimes the humor they're friends.
And Lone Wolf McQuaid, did you finish
I
that?
Finished it.
Did you see the part where he drove his truck out of the ground and his, yeah, in his tomb?
Good thing it's got the Road Warrior turbocharger in it. And, well, isn't it odd? Like, in the strongest windows ever.
I know.
Like tons of earth would probably break through those windows and suffocate you, but he has enough time to crack a beer, even though he's been shot like three times.
That was my favorite part of the whole movie. He's just like, buried alive, not a problem for Chuck.
And not just buried alive, but he gets out of it and runs down the two remaining gunmen.
Of course he does.
Like, I knew they were there. I could sense their bullets.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah, well, I can see the public outline.
Yeah.
Not your snarky private one.
This is a safer Steve. Safer Steve right. Outline. I'd hate to see your gym outline. You're smart. You don't even share yours on the screen.
I just have scribblings on a notepad. Everything is so handwritten. Back in olden times.
Jim and Steve, watch a show. Jim and Steve, watch a show you never see.
Welcome everybody to Jim and Steve, Watch a Show, Season 3, Episode 8. And in this episode, we're going to be taking a look at So I Married an Anti-Fan. My name is Jim.
And my name is Steve.
And Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our show is all about?
Every week, we go to the streaming services and we find a show that either you have not heard of or you have overlooked for one reason or another. We watch the first episode, we give it a review, and then we tell you whether or not we would watch the entire first season.
Right. And again, we're going to take a look at So I Married anti-fan. How do you prefer it?
I think anti.
Anti-fan. So I married an anti-fan. So we'd like to start off with some basic background information about the show. But Steve, what did you find out?
So I Married an Anti-Fan is on Amazon Prime. It is a Korean show, one season, 16 episodes. Each episode is about an hour long, maybe a shade less. It released on April 30th of 2021 and concluded on June 19th of 2021. And I believe it was just, that's the complete story. I don't think there's any need to go beyond that. It was just, here's the show.
Well, there would be 16 hours.
So. Yeah, shade less.
Plenty of time, I would think.
That's right.
And that does, that is always helpful when we figure out if there's a coherent arc that's finished by the end of the season. So
I always try to find that out now, because I feel like whenever we did the first season of our show, I wasn't finding that out. And I have learned that it's super important.
It does matter. And yes, so yeah, for us and for listeners too, it's like, do you want to tackle this thing or not?
Yeah. Especially knowing it's like, you can only read the first three chapters.
Right. And then you make up the rest yourself.
Yeah, it's all in your head.
All right. Well, thank you for the basic background information. We are now up to the summary challenge. In the summary challenge, we like to recap the first episode of the series in about a minute or less. And I believe this time around, Steve, you are up. Is that correct?
I am first.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes. So I Married an Anti-Fan takes place in Korea. And there are two main characters. There is Hoo Joon, who is an international K-pop star. He's winning awards. He's touring the world. Very, very famous. But I don't think he's happy. Then you have Lee Gwan Young, who is kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum. She has a job that she doesn't seem to like very much at a kind of celebrity gossip magazine. She's always just having bad luck. Like, she is dumped on at work and her boyfriend's cheating on her with another guy, and like, just bad things keep happening to her. So she is asked to cover this event where Hoo Joon is going to be. they bump into each other once, and she has a camera, so he thinks that she's taking pictures, but she's like, I wasn't, I'm just carrying the camera. Then they have a more meaningful incident later in the same evening that kind of blows up into this whole thing that is a bit of a cliffhanger going into episode two. So I guess I said everything and nothing.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I was wondering maybe if you're being purposely vague, and I don't know how much I want to spoil then.
Well, and you know, now that I think about it, with it being 16 episodes, I don't know that there's really much of a spoiler in episode one. So I think you can just go for it.
Okay, I'm going to go for it then. Here's my summary challenge. So as you said, Hu Jun is a popular musician, and Lee Gong Young is the main female lead. She did find out her boyfriend is cheating on her. She gets invited to this party. She has to cover it as a journalist. She does run into Hu Yoon and is it Hu Yoon or Hu Jun?
I thought Jun, but
yeah, okay,
I'm guessing your pronunciation might be better than mine.
No, I think you're right. Hu Jun, sorry.
We apologize to Korea because yeah, I'm just some hick from America.
I'm sure we're butchering this. Sorry. She sees him in a personal argument with a woman, and he asks for her camera. She does puke on his shoes. Then she throws a shoe at him. He tries to get her fired, and she starts throwing some shade online about him as a musician. And that's about as far into the plot as we get.
Right. Yeah. Very good.
Okay. So a little bit more detail there.
Yes,
so
absolutely more.
So between the two, that can kind of give you a sense of what that first episode's ramping up towards. So on to now points of interest, clarification one might need to learn, like know more about the show or better enjoy the first episode. But what did you have here?
So this is where I went down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
And so first let me tell you that this show is based on both a novel and a webtoon. Wow. So they're both called the same thing. So I married an anti-fan.
Okay.
Some of the people in the show are actually real K-pop stars from Korea.
Oh.
Okay. So if you enjoy that type of music, you may recognize some of the people that are in this show.
Yeah.
Where I went down the rabbit hole is in the beginning of the episode, they make this big deal about how old Hu Jun is and when his birthday actually is. And it starts on New Year's Eve, which is allegedly his birthday, but they hint that that's not really his birthday.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out why that was so important and why you would even want to lie about it.
Yeah.
I never found the answer to that question.
Okay.
other than I did learn that you have a definite shelf life as a K-pop star, and once you get too old, you're done.
They kind of
allude to that later in the episode where that girl K-pop star is trying to get a job.
Yeah.
And she kept on saying, I'll do my best. I'll do my best. And he's like, and how old are you? So that's kind of alluding to that. But what happened is I went down the rabbit hole of finding out the birthday thing.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's an entire Korean TV trope list. And okay. It's like, here are all these plot devices that Korean shows tend to use.
Yeah.
One of them is they're like, if a girl gets drunk, there's an 80% chance she's going to throw up on a guy. And that happened.
It did.
And I'm like, oh. And so they said, a lot of Korean shows, they have to have this part where the main lead girl almost falls down and the guy catches her. Okay. And if you remember, that happened too.
Yeah.
Whenever she was looking in his car and he opened the door into her, but he somehow caught her.
Yes, correct.
And so I started reading all of these and it like checked about half the boxes.
Wow.
Like her being not just down on her luck, but every single bad thing happening to her.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what they call that one, but there's like, basically it's not just down on your luck. It's down on your luck. So she lost her job, her apartment, her boyfriend. She, for some reason, when she was packing up her job, she put her unused drink in the box with her stuff.
She did.
And then the box fell open and spilled. I'm like, who would pack a coffee in with their box of stuff? But whatever.
And she said something like, I didn't even get a chance to sip it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you put it in a box.
You put it in the box.
Right. So there's like, I guess it makes sense because you can find websites and websites about movie tropes and TV tropes, yeah. But there's like this whole list of specific Korean ones.
Wow.
And this show checked a lot of those boxes. So that's what I had for interest.
Yeah, that's great. How very interesting. I did say that the show definitely has a formula to it, but I guess I didn't realize.
Exactly. A lot of Korean TV has that same formula.
Yeah. And I had what you had, maybe a little background information about K-pop. I didn't realize there were real K-pop stars in this. So that's probably kind of fun for people who like K-pop.
Yep.
I did think that the sound effects in this one were a little interesting. And I didn't know if that was, did you run into that as a trope in Korean?
So I did not. And I actually had that as maybe a weakness of the show.
Yeah. Okay. We'll save that then. And the other thing I had was all of the bosses seemed to be mean, I guess. And I didn't know if that was also.
Yes. Where they say superiors slapping their inferiors.
Yeah,
and recall her boss slapped her on her way out the door from the job. And they're like, there's not really a caste system, but there's kind of a thing where if you have more money in Korea, you can exert that power and people just take it.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So definitely this show follows lots of the tropes that you found.
From what I saw, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So great. So that's some great background for anybody who's going to be watching this for the first time. So on to positives and strengths of the show. What were some of the things that you liked about it?
So I guess I would put this somewhere between The Silent Sea and the other Korean shows we watch as for picking a lane. Yep. This didn't try to be everything, but I kind of felt like it wanted to be a dramatic comedy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can put those two ingredients together and really make it work. So maybe I don't know if I call that a strength or not. So I guess the strength is it's not trying to be five things.
Yeah.
The weakness would be that it's trying to be two things that may not go together.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I had something very similar on the weakness side of saying there's a lot of tonal shifts. But I agree that it wasn't quite as bad as some of the other ones that we saw, but not quite as on point as Silent Sea. So I think that's a great comment. Yeah. So for positives, I had that. I mean, the premise is kind of fun. There are some genuinely funny moments in the show.
Yes.
And it's a little quirky, and I like that kind of stuff. There's a scene where the main character is kind of wooing somebody, and there's like a, or no, this was, I get kind of confused. There's a trunk full of flowers at some point, which I thought was interesting. And at the end, there was this montage credit sequence that took me off guard. And I thought that was kind of fun.
Yep. And I liked whenever she was blasting him at the end online, the little like shoulder version of herself.
Yes.
I thought was kind of a creative way.
Yeah.
To like just show how she was going for it. I did like that a lot.
Yeah. Which was a great segue into weaknesses and drawbacks, because like you said, I think at times it wanted to be taken as kind of a serious drama.
Right.
But then there would be tonal shifts like that where
and the music was confusing in that way.
Yeah.
Where there were all of these random like slide whistle ish sound effects.
Yes.
That I'm like, is that really what you wanted to use there?
Yeah, like a cartoon sound.
But we've seen that in other Korean shows. So maybe that's just kind of like the standard.
Yeah. So it's like the equivalent of watching kind of a dramatic show and then all of a sudden the cartoon sound effect.
Yes, exactly like that.
And it's a little jarring. And like you said, maybe just part of, you know, how they do things in Korean shows, but from our perspective, a little bit different than what we're used to from a tonal perspective. The other thing I had was, and you've kind of answered this now, I thought that the main male lead, Hujun, seems pretty interchangeable with the other shows that we watched, My Love from the Stars and Gumiho.
They have a definite look.
Yeah. And the way they kind of carry themselves, and they usually have some amount of power and prestige, and they're really sort of inaccessible. I don't know how else to say it. They're like, there's a wall
cold-ish
there.
Cold-ish?
Yeah, kind there's of? A wall. Yeah.
Stoic?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. And I just thought, I think you could take any one of those three leads and transplant them in those three shows. Yeah, and it'd be kind of similar. So that, for me, that was kind of a drawback.
It's funny also, that has been a criticism of K-pop over the years of like, you just have this stable of replacement batteries. And once one person ages out or has to leave, you just plug the next guy in or plug the next girl in. Huh. And you don't really miss a beat. And it's like, well, then how important are the actual members if it doesn't matter?
Oh, so there's parallels in the music industry.
Yes.
Huh. I was learning a lot. Learning a lot this time.
Right. Except I kind of went down a rabbit hole with this one.
No, that's great. So this leads us to, would we watch the entire season? So Steve, would you watch the entire season of So I Married an Anti-Fan?
So in my research, I found out what is going to happen next. Based on that, I would definitely watch at least one more episode.
Oh, based on a little...
On what I know is coming probably in episode two.
Well, I should have said this. As a weakness or drawback, the show's called So I Married an Anti-Fan. There's really... The first episode doesn't get you to the major...
It has nothing to do with the name of the show. Yes.
So I can kind of extrapolate where it's going just from the title of the show.
Right.
But man, its pacing is pretty slow and doesn't quite get you.
Yeah, it's like watching there. Three's Company. It's about a bachelor.
Yeah. We haven't met the roommates yet.
Yeah. It takes a couple episodes to get there. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess for me, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Just because, like I said, it's pacing's pretty slow.
And if I didn't know what was coming, I would have definitely said no. But knowing that there should be a bit of an uptick in episode two, I will at least give it that.
Well, now I'm curious now.
All right. We can talk later.
All right. Well, I always do like a qualified yes. And I guess this time I'm just going to say no. So that's I'm going to roll with that. So how does this show rank compared to the other shows that we have reviewed? And this is going to be our eighth show that we have reviewed thus far. And to remind our listeners, we've watched Alice in Borderland, Ambassadors, 3%, Ultraman Orb, The Silent Sea, Bang Bang Baby, Father Ted, and now So I Married an Anti-Fan. Where are you going to put this on the list?
I'm going to laugh if we get this the same again, but I'm putting it at number six.
Where am I at?
In front of Ambassadors and 3%.
Oh my gosh, I did the exact same. Although I have Ambassadors and 3%, it's in front of Ambassadors and 3%, but I think we're switched on that one.
I might have Ambassadors last, but honestly, yes. It wouldn't break my heart to move it up by one. Like it's fine.
This is the craziest season.
Yeah, we are just really in lockstep this season.
We are. Okay. Well, no discussion needed on that then. We don't even need a season. Like I said, we're not going to need a season review this time around.
We're just talking about politics.
Okay. So on to this day in nerd history. And I'm curious what was going on.
This one's a bit more straightforward, but I think it's a good discussion. On February 19th, of 1968, was the premiere of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And excellent. It went until August 31st of 2001. 912 episodes and 31 seasons.
Yeah.
I remember watching it very often as a little kid. Now, to be fair, it started in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I grew up outside of Pittsburgh. So I think even if it wasn't national at that point, I still would have seen it because it was local to me.
Sure.
But it developed quite a following. And I'll tell you the reason why it wasn't necessarily my favorite show, but you often hear about people that are good people or kind people. I believe that Fred Rogers is legitimately the nicest man I have ever seen. And I recall it being to the point, because there's a really good documentary about him and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
That he would go to interviews and people would say, come on, like, nobody is this nice.
Nobody like, can be as nice.
Like, what's the joke? What's the gag? Are you one day we're going to find out that, you know, you're a murderer? Or, and he's like, no, this is just who I am.
Yeah.
And it's so rare that somebody actually is that nice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one part where I want to say it's probably the 60s where the government wants to remove funding for like PBS.
Mm-hmm.
and children's programming and all this stuff. And they have all of these different people from all these different networks coming in to plead their case. And the dude in charge is just not having it.
Yeah.
And then he comes up, Fred Rogers does, and he goes, you have this report. I'm not going to read it to you. I trust that you're going to read it. I just want to tell you about this song that I wrote for my show. And he sings it to him in front of like a couple of thousand people. And at the end of it, like this hard senator, that's the nicest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
And he got the funding.
Wow.
And like, it's so rare that you would ever actually see that outside of a show or a movie.
Yeah,
that it actually happened in real life. And the worst criticism that I've ever heard of him,
yeah,
is they said they didn't like that he was telling people that you're okay the way that you are. They felt like you were telling kids they didn't have to try and you were just you were special.
Oh.
Like, so if that's the worst thing you can ever say about a dude is you told people that they were special,
right.
Like that's a pretty high bar, right?
Yeah. For sure.
And I don't know if you ever watched the show or not, but
I did. Pretty fond memories of it. And I have to admit, I don't know, I guess just with my kid brain, I never quite understood like where he was coming from when he would come home to like change his, like, I guess I didn't understand the wardrobe change until much later. I guess he's just getting into his like casual clothes for home.
Right.
But the whole like changes in shoes and stuff, I never quite got that as a kid. I don't know why. Did you kind of get that he was kind of coming and going or?
I guess it just kind of went over me completely. I'm just like, come on, get to the show, man. Like, take your stupid shoes off.
He would feed the fish, right? I remember that. And I love the make-believe section of it as well. And yeah, he was kind of one of those people, and there's a few, I mean, I don't know if you call them TV personalities, but people I remember that just had a way of speaking that was so kind of soothing and kind of zen. Yep. Mr. Rogers was definitely one. And another one for me was Carl Sagan. There was just another, just the way that he spoke. And I feel like, I don't know, there's just a certain cadence or the person, like you said, themselves are just nice and that comes through. I just always remember enjoying Mr. Rogers and it's just a very kind of zen experience watching it.
Well, and it was interesting too because they could speak calmly and in words that you could understand, but they weren't talking down to you either.
Yeah.
That's a really hard line to walk in any life that you live. It's really hard to take someone that doesn't know something and make them understand it without making them feel dumb.
Sure.
And it was something that I think he and Carl Sagan both were very much able to do.
Yeah. I think about that for both of them. It's like, one, you're kind of breaking down some basic core values and morals for kids in a way that they can understand. And Carl's trying to break down kind of complex scientific.
Very complex. Right. Yeah, but he did.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you if you had a favorite make-believe character. Do you remember them well enough to have a favorite?
You know, I was never a big King Friday guy.
No?
No. This always rubbed me the wrong way. And then there was that, I think it was a guy, but whenever I was a kid, I thought it was a girl that ran that museum and she was just really nasty. But I think it's actually a guy.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I think as a kid, I thought that it was a woman, but I think as an adult, I realized, yeah.
Yeah.
The puppet.
Hmm.
Maybe the tiger. Is it Daniel Tiger?
Daniel Tiger.
I think maybe he was all right.
I feel like I'm missing.
But you can't go wrong with the trolley.
The trolley is a safe bet.
Trolley knew what he was doing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was a good one. Yeah, I mean, like you said, what a great guy. And
and I would recommend it. Like, even if you don't really care about the show at all, it's a really good documentary that, again, I don't know that there's ever really been anybody as nice as this guy was. And you hear about people like Gandhi or Mother Teresa, who you come to find out maybe weren't quite as good as everybody thought they were when they were alive. Nothing bad has ever come out about this guy, ever.
Yeah, that's great. So he has kind of a nice untarnished legacy going on, which is awesome.
And right.
I haven't seen the Netflix documentary. I might check that out.
Yeah, I would strongly recommend it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir, for a nice day in nerd history, a beautiful day in nerd
very
history.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope everybody enjoyed our look at So I'm Married an Anti-Fan. Please join us next week as we pluck another show out of the streaming universe to review. Until then, I am Jim.
And I am Steve. Thank you.
Jim and Steve. Watch a show. Jim and Steve, watch a show you never seen.